I felt like I needed to just say a few words tonight before Brother Joey and Sister Maddie come to sing. I've enjoyed all of the special songs this week. I truly have. And when my wife and I first came here to Fairview Memorial, there was an evening that Sister Maddie came up to sing with Joey, and they came up here, and Joey had his guitar, and he put a stool here behind the pulpit for Maddie to stand on. And my wife and I, we talk about this quite often, but we thought that we were getting ready to hear this little girl sing a little girl song, a little kid song, and we were just amazed at the talent that the Lord had blessed her with. And she's really grown. She's grown physically because she doesn't have to have her stool anymore. And she's really growing in the Lord, as with many of the young people here. And I'm thankful for that. And we're going to ask them to come now and share a song with us. And you pray for them.
Seems before me. We want to join Brother Miller in welcoming everyone that has gathered here at the House of God in an effort to try to help these lost sinners that's seeking the way toward Zion. Before I get started into this, though, there's a couple of things I want to do. I want to say I appreciated that message of truth that we heard last night. And I hope that lost people didn't just disregard that, because it still stands just like it was. It's still the truth. And the other thing that I neglected that has haunted me ever since, and that was that, we're talking about D-Day, and I would just like to give a salute to all of our military men that put their lives on the line so that I can stand here tonight free to preach the gospel. And those men and women that's over there tonight, they're very brave, because they stand in harm's way, and we would do well to put a wall of prayer around them. Amen. You do need to pray for me tonight, because I want the Lord to humble me. I want Him to make me really realize that I'm here tonight with His people, with His word, and people that have not yet found this place that Jesus said that He was the door. There's a lot of religions in the world. They all claim to have the answer as to where is the door, or how shall man be justified with God? But there's only one answer for it, and it's all found in Christ. So I want the Lord tonight to pity me, look down on me as someone that is undeserving and unworthy to be standing before You. But with His help, Your prayers, I want to try to give some instruction for those that are lost. I may read a couple of verses. I've not really got my mind settled yet how I want to go. But I want to read, first in the 28th division of the Psalms, just one verse. You know, this book of Psalms, we think of them as all being songs or psalms, which they are. But there's lots of, it's all inspired utterances that are here, just like anywhere else in the Scriptures. And so I'm just going to briefly look at this first verse where that David said, "Unto Thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me. If thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down to the pit." Now, it's our hope that are here tonight, all these saved people, it's our hope that you, as a lost sinner, may have a feeling similar to what David's prayer was, that was obviously under duress of some kind. David's life was full of trouble. And a lot of those inspired utterances that we read now and are strengthened by them, that was pretty much his daily life. He was persecuted. He was run. And the time came, though, that Israel's sacred singer or sweet singer died. But he left behind, through God's providence, this for us to nourish our needs as we walk this low ground of sin and sorrow. And so as he's saying here, "Unto thee will I cry." And I want you to notice, "O Lord, my rock." Lost people, the best way I know how to explain this to you is this. That there was a terrible thing happened many years ago. And when it happened, it put all of us in jeopardy of going to an eternal fire to burn forever. And there was a lot of things that happened in the history of our race to emphasize and really enlarge what a small thing was. It becomes larger and larger as we go down through Scripture. We start seeing prophets come in and start expounding these things that even laid behind the people, and then the things that were forward. And then when they had observed those things that were coming up on them due to this bad thing, they all pointed, though, to a time. And it was a time whenever a Redeemer, like Brother Miller mentioned last night, would come. Do you know what a Redeemer is? Well, he's someone like you get sold for a slave, we'll say, and there you are on an auction block, and there's bidders out there. Everybody's bidding how much they'll give for you to take you home and make a slave out of you. Well, there was one came, though, that he had the only acceptable price to pay. And he bought us back. So now then, we have the freedom, we have the opportunity, we have the obligation of finding this man to redeem us and to save us personally. He did it for the race, and then he does it personally. And when you get old enough to know the difference between right and wrong, then you're lost. You may not be under conviction, but you're lost. Because if you know something is wrong, then God's not going to let that go to heaven. That has to be done away with. You can't get saved until you are convicted of your sins. Preachers can't do that. There's nothing you can do to be convicted outside of the working of the Holy Spirit in whatever manner He deems best in your particular case. There might be some time you're standing listening to a good old song. You've heard the gospel, but it didn't move you too much. But then in that song, there was something about what was said that fit your case the best you had ever heard it. Sometimes there are testimonies in the church where people get up and tell what the Lord has done for them. And maybe you've heard testimonies many times. But there might be someone get up that has not testified before. You've never heard them before. But what they have to say, you can identify with that. And so that's the reason the Scriptures teach God's people to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Because there's a great need for that. Lost sinners needs to hear that. I heard it. I didn't hear it in church as much as I heard it out of the church. That was their conversation. They came to church, they worshiped, they preached, they shouted. They did all of those things. Altar services sometimes would just go on and on and on. But the talk didn't stop on Sunday. It went into Monday, Tuesday, right on into the next meeting time. Sometimes it was once a month. Then later it got to be twice a month. But during those times, don't think that I went lacking hearing about the Lord. I heard about Him all the time. I saw a demonstration of Him in the lives of the people that were around me. I was blessed, and that's the reason I'm not worthy to stand here before you tonight, because I have been overly blessed, because God has been so good. He's good to everybody. And we thank Him for that, that He's no respecter of persons. But in the sense of having the right atmosphere to live in, to know what I needed to do to get right with God, I was blessed with that from a very early age, as long as I have been living. And when my parents died, they were still just like they were whenever I first came into the world. They were still serving the Lord. They were still looking for that city. They were still looking for that time beyond that golden strand. And they were going to meet there with their Savior and thank Him in an acceptable manner for all the things that he's done. Because in this body, we just can't do it. It's too full of sin. It's too full of carnality. But when we are dressed in his righteousness and we stand before God in an acceptable way, we can praise him throughout the ceaseless ages of all eternity for his darling son that loved us and gave himself a ransom for us. Now, here's what I want you to notice in that scripture. He said, Lord, I'm going to cry unto you, but he said, be not silent unto me. Now, when a sinner is seeking the Lord, they expect to hear something back, don't we? Well, it's like this. It's not the words that we say with our mouth. I love to hear people pray out loud. You go to Africa and other countries, and that's the way everybody prays. They will pray out loud. Many of them will stand with their hands up like this as they pray. But they all pray out loud. And it just seemed like they have a liberty in doing that, that they are just trying to talk to the Lord. And that's the way it must be with you when you're seeking the Lord. You forget everything that's around you because that doesn't enter into your salvation. There's only one thing. You're a sinner. You're lost. You need to be forgiven, and you seek that mercy from God through prayer. And he said, when you seek for me with all your heart, then you'll find me. So when people seek the Lord and don't hear from him, then the whole heart has not been put into it yet. That's the reason why that you see people sometimes go to the altar more than one time. I know you have a case here where you've had people that have gone to the altar for years that has not yet been satisfied. We have a woman in our church. I suppose she's been going to the altar 20 years. And to this day, she's not told us how it is with her soul. It's worrisome. How is it that she's going to come so many times, and then go to hell if she's not saved? But that's what happens. We go to hell unless we're saved. So that's what's got to be bearing on the heart. I am a lost sinner. I have offended God. So that's the scriptures give it to us this way. In the 20th chapter of the book of Acts of the Apostles, Paul was preaching to the elders there at Ephesus, and here's what he said. He said, I taught you privately, publicly, and from house to house. Listen. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way that Paul divided it up. Even though God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are all one, they have their offices, the things that they needed to do for our salvation. So it is that God is the offended party, and his son came to this world, took on himself human flesh like we have, only it didn't have any sin. He was virgin born so that he would not have sin. And he lived a perfect life, not one sin. And that qualified him in his perfect obedience to be the one that would pay the penalty for our sin. He could do that. He was eligible to do that. He was suitable to pay the sin debt. No one else could be. Moses was the meekest man of all the world, we can say, but he wasn't suitable. He was a sinner. And so it was whenever Christ came, he went to the cross, and there he died in my place and your place, and he paid this awful, awful, awful sin debt that I owe and that you owe. And then whenever God raised him from the dead, that was the Father saying, okay, I'm satisfied. I'm pleased. The debt has been paid. It's been canceled. It's over. Now then, whosoever will, let him come and drink the water of life freely. Of course, we know that Adam and Eve and Abel, or any that got saved even back in the garden, they got saved the same way that we get saved. It is through faith by grace. By grace through faith, I should have said. But anyway, I just want you to understand that when you come to seek the Lord, you remember it's not just you going to hell. That's not I don't know how to say this to set right, but I'm just saying to you that God is offended. And that's as bad as it can get. That's the worst sin that you could ever do, is just offend God. And he stays offended until there is a forgiveness exercised and there's no longer a charge against you. All right, then when we seek in him, we are not just saying, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. Well, of course you don't want to go to hell. But God, I offended you. I am so sorry. You see what I'm saying? Now, it's not words. It's in your heart that God looks at and he sees the sorrow. He sees the remorse that is there because you have offended the God of the universe, the one that created the heavens and the earth and all that's therein. And he made you. He's a creator. That's what he is. And it's the Holy Spirit that gives life to anything, whether it be plant, animal, or human. And the Son, it is, that suffered and died so that the dead could be canceled. Now, notice what he was saying. He said, God, don't be silent to me. But he said, if you are, then I will become like them that go down to the pit. Now, in the first looking at this, we would say the grave, which we find throughout the scripture. That's right. But what about the grave? What about these people that are out here? Their soul is not there. It's only... You've heard people talk about someone's remains. Remains indicates that this was what was left. The rest is gone. The remains are still here. So we give them a what we call a Christian burial. Believing and knowing in our heart, but believing that if they have been saved, that there will be a day come, according to Paul in 4th chapter, 1 Thessalonians, where he said, brethren, concerning those, I would have you not ignorant concerning those which sleep, even as others which have no hope. Listen, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ. So that tells us right off, there's some that's going to be in Christ and some that are not. But the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we, talking about us who are saved, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall it be at his coming. Now, there's going to be the judgment take place. Now, I'm not a premillennialist, and I don't care who knows it. I believe the last day is the last day. And whenever that last day comes, you better have been ready. Because where you're going in eternity is not going to be decided on the day of judgment. That'll be decided this side of the grave. And that's the reason why that you better get ready now while you can. This is a time of opportunity. Because if you call out to God and God is silent, how are you going to get saved? If God doesn't talk back to you somehow, if that heart doesn't become humble and broken and contrite, then how's he going to talk to you? Well, you certainly can't get one of these false prophets up to reading your little ritual to go through or take you into a pond of water somewhere. That's not making right with God. This is a very serious matter. And it involves all of us. There's not one here, not one in this house that is not concerned about this. You've got to die. And this is what he was saying. David was saying, don't be silent to me, or I'll be like them that go down into the pit. Well, you go out here and you just get into one of these graves, anyone you want to. You go down there, and let me tell you, it's going to be silent all around you. You'll not hear any preaching. There's going to be no gospel preaching out here in the cemetery. That day of opportunity is already behind these that are out here. They had the opportunity. They sat on these seats where you sat. But now, some of them may have not got saved. I don't know. I hope that's not the case. I hope they all got saved. But if they didn't, their soul immediately split hell wide open. And the family grieved, hoping against hope, against hope, against hope. Surely, 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 they didn't let this happen and them not saved. But if they did, then there's preachers. You can get them, and they'll just preach them right on into heaven. It does not matter. If they didn't have an experience with God or not, it just doesn't matter. They can be the biggest drunk or the biggest rip that's ever lived. It doesn't matter. They went right on into heaven. Now, we're not saved by our works. You know that. But, you know, when people get saved, they don't live like they once did. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. That means they die. And behold, all things become new. So what I'm saying to you is this, that whenever you go down into that pit out there, it's quiet. It's going to stay quiet. And everyone that's in one of those graves out there, if we were thinking about it in human terms, it's a very lonely place. There's nobody out there to talk to them. And then this opens up another thought, doesn't it? About another pit. Are we going to die in a condition to where that heaven will not be our home? Now then, what's the right condition? Well, the right condition, and the only condition, is that you have repented of your sins and they have been cleansed away. They've been washed away from the memory of God. Now that's what it takes. Because he said, their sins, that's the new covenant, their sins and iniquities, I'll remember no more. I'm not going to remember. And he even talks about our sins being cast behind his back. You can't see your back. You never have seen your back. You never will. Or you might with a mirror, but you've not seen your back. And he said, I'll put them out in the deepest part of the sea. And he would illustrate that to the children of Israel on the Day of Atonement, whenever he would take one of those goats that was going to be killed, and they would take one of them's blood and they'd take it into the most holy place and offer it. But this other scapegoat, the priest would confess the sins of the children over his Israel over his head, and then he was sent away into a land not inhabited by a fit man. I think he was ceremonially fit, is what I believe that means. But anyway, that goat didn't come back. Now God's illustrating. He's saying, that's the way I do with your sin. I just get rid of them. I'm not talking about the ones you've committed behind you, but I'm talking about all of them. Every one you'll ever commit, they go together. You know, the Bible teaches us clearly that whenever we're saved, that our sins will be remembered against us no more. We're not going to judgment to be judged about our sins. We will be judged on our works. And we will answer for what we have done for Christ in the sense of our works. But not our sins. But sinners, you're going to be right there. I won't need to go over here somewhere else just a minute. Into the book of Ecclesiastes. And the fifth verse there, he said, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Now, there's people that believe that when you die, your soul goes to sleep. That's not even worth fooling with. He said, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Sinners, I want you to think with me just a minute. There's landmarks around town here with different people's names on them that have been dead for great numbers of years. Nobody remembers them. It's been too long. And so only memory of them is just what they see on a building somewhere or bridge or whatever was named after them, highway. But what about to be forgotten? What about whenever God becomes silent? The lost sinners, when they go down into the pit, whenever there will be no more entreating them, there will be no more preachers up in the pulpit every Sunday pleading and begging and trying to persuade lost sinners to seek the Lord while he can be found. Won't be any of that. God will have nothing else to say to those that go into that pit. He's going to become silent. And that's awful. Whenever you lose the ability to talk with someone. You see, if a sinner's here seeking the Lord, and as long as they're honest and they're really trying to get a hold of the Lord, then the Lord will help them. That's how all of us got saved. The Spirit of God helped us to repent. And then he helped us to trust what Christ had done for us. So you see, that's fine. But now when you go down into the pit, we're talking about hell. We're talking about this place where there's no conversations. There's no preaching of the gospel down there. There's no one that has a desire to be saved in hell. And I'll tell you why. It's because the Holy Spirit is not down there to convict them. They'd like to get out of that pain. Oh, you better believe it. What they would give. You read that rich man that's in hell and see if he ever asked to be got out of there. He didn't. He knew he was there. He knew there was no remedy. You know, if I had the time to go into, I think it's something like the 43rd chapter maybe of Job and the 46th chapter and other places, you find out that a ransom, he said, oh, I have found a ransom. There was a ransom. But then, again, it will say about they couldn't be redeemed with a great ransom. Even the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ could not ransom those that are in hell. It can't. Don't you? And this destroys the doctrine of purgatory. You know, there's people that believe that you can die and go to purgatory and let a priest pray for you and your sins will be forgiven. And then you, after you've suffered whatever they prescribe, then you can go on into heaven. Well, if that's true, then there's two ways to heaven. Christ is one of them and purgatory is the other. And I don't believe that for a minute, and I know you don't. Surely you don't. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. That in hell, it's over. There's nothing there. And you know, he said here that they will be forgotten. The memory of them will be forgotten. If I were to, you've been dead, we'll say 200 years. Nobody knows you. Nobody in Bowling Green, nobody in Warren County, nobody around. I could even ask you tonight, what was your great-grandfather's name? I can't tell you. Maybe you can remember yours, but I can't mine. Well, then, great-great-grandfather, did you know his name? See, that period of time has already gone. Now, what I'm trying to get you to see is that during this time, that God has allotted to you, given you some time to hear the gospel, repent of your sins, get saved, live for him, receive rewards out at the end of the way. He's given you all of that. But what about those that go down to the pit? The memory of them is going to be forgotten. Can you imagine? What about whenever we go to a funeral? And we'll say, well, I heard Brother Doug Skinner give this illustration one time. I guess it'd be all right to use one of Brother Doug's. He said it's like a pastor saying, if he'd tell the truth, this man was born in sin. This man is a sinner. This man died a sinner. And then the other little things that go with that. And that's true. That's our record. But listen. Whenever you die, how long is people going to remember you? I'm not talking about the family. The family will never get over you. But I'm talking about just going down the street. He's talking to us about they won't be remembered. There won't be anybody walking down the street that's going to talk about you. They've forgotten you. Nobody knows you. And even that man in hell, he just knew that he had five brethren back at his father's house. He prayed and begged Abraham, please send Lazarus back and let him warn my five brethren lest they come to this awful place of torment. I want to tell you about this pit that we have here. I've already told you it was a place where the conversation that we have now, the hearing of the gospel as we hear now, it's not down there. You won't hear that. It's a place of darkness. You look in your New Testament and you see how many times it's going to say the mist of darkness forever. Think about that. Or the blackness of darkness forever. What about the children of Egypt, Israel when they were in Egypt and the darkness was so heavy, so thick, you could feel it. Do you think God in his anger is going to put a less darkness on those in the pit? I don't think so. Let me see if I can do it this way. I'm sure this has happened. I don't know. I couldn't prove it if I had to, but I just believe it has. That there has been people that have died that were church members, that were good, moral, living people. They died. Unsaved. And the preacher got up and pronounced them clean because that's all he knew is just what they said. They said they were saved. They lived well. So why shouldn't he tell what awaits the children of God? But you see that person in hell, if they can look back, like that rich man was looking back to his father's house. Whenever the people went home saying, oh, we've lost our loved one, and they're weeping and mourning over that, but at least he's with the Lord. And the lost person down the hill said, no, 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 don't give up. Keep praying, keep talking, keep talking. I'm in hell. I'm not in heaven. They wouldn't know it. They never will know it. We never will know it. So you see, memory is something that we, as we get older, like myself, I can tell that it's much harder to remember things now than it used to be. But the older you get is the more so that you just don't remember as well. But you see, in hell, that's going to change. For people that go to hell, they're going to have a perfect memory. They're going to have a different body. They'll have the same one like they've got now, only it'll be fashioned in such a way that it will endure eternal punishment. Because that is the sentence for the wicked, is eternal punishment in the blackness of darkness forever. You could go to a man in hell that's been there 10 trillion, 1,000 trillion years, and he would still say, I'm tormented in this flame. Because that's the sentence. That's the sentence. Two sentences at judgment. To the righteous, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. To the wicked, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Two verdicts. And that's it. That court that all other days have been made for, that day of judgment. The verdict is final. It's irrevocable. It can't be changed. That court will meet. It will assign men to their eternal places, even though whenever a soul dies now, they go straight to hell. And that soul is in hell till the judgment. And then in the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation, it tells us. John said, I saw a new heaven where the clouds were chased away. and how that the dead were called to judgment. They were called to judgment. Well, where were they? Well, they were in hell. And so they're going to stand in judgment. They're going to be judged. Every idle word you've ever spoken, you'll give an account. Every thought that you've ever had, you'll give an account. And the Bible plainly says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You sin because that's what you are. You're a sinner by nature. We all are. But you see, this good thing about us that are not like those that go down to the pit, we have in here a brand new man. That's what the scriptures call him. Because if you have a man, you have intelligence. You have so many things like affections and on and on and on. But this man, he can be sorrowful or he can be joyous. But whenever this life is over with, we'll have a new body. It won't be this body, but Paul said it would be likened unto his body. Meaning, it'll never die, it'll never get sick, it'll never be disappointed, it'll never hurt. It'll have no memory of this life. If you go to hell and your loved ones go to heaven, you're going to be forgotten. They won't remember you. And then I think that we will take God's side in condemning you. You killed my son. You didn't have any feeling of remorse or repentance about you. You just killed him. Now then, it's my time. Who can stand when once thou art angered? Whenever God, he's pictured in the Bible as sitting, just like they say sometimes, an old man sitting down. But then on that morning, whenever he gets up in anger, he gets up in a rage. It'd be like 1,000 drunk men going through a jewelry store, knocking down everything, china and everything. He's going to tear sin up like you cannot believe. You'll be drugged before that judgment bar. Oh my. I hear people say God's going to have a tear in his eye as he tells you to depart. Oh no. They've not been reading the book. God rejoices in justice and in judgment. We'll rejoice with him whenever he tells the lost sinners that's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. We rejoice with you, Lord. It was right. Your statutes, your judgment, they were right. Wouldn't it be awful to have to look at one of your sons if we still had the same feeling that we have here in this life and rejoice because they were going to hell? We couldn't do that, could we? But see, that won't be the way it is. Our mind is going to be elevated. Our feelings will be elevated, just like the Lord's, in the sense that we see things like he sees it. We can't do that now. We're just too carnal. But, Senator Friend, I want to tell you this while Brother Joy gets the song. There's going to be one thing that when you go to hell, and that is the impossibility of getting out. We call this a pit. If you go to the book of the Revelation, it's probably symbolic, and I don't know what it means, but it talks about the bottomless pit. But let me tell you, wherever it is, whatever it is, it has no doors. There's no doors. When you're cast in there, you're there. And you know what? When you read the 21st, I believe it is, chapter of the book of the Revelation, it may be the 22nd, where John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the former things had passed away. You see, the judgment has already taken place. According to the 20th chapter, you had to be the 21st. That it all passed away. So, judgment's gone. memory's gone, but here you are in hell. With your punishment, your reward, whatever you did, you'll pay for it right there. Now listen, there's one thing though that can come back. And that's your memory. You know, I want to say this before I conclude that. I've heard of people that were put into a kind of a solitary confinement, like prisoners of war, that actually lost their mind because of the loneliness. Nobody to talk to. No one to care. Nothing. Just nothing. They're just there. They lose their mind. Well, what about when you get to hell and there's nobody there that cares? Nobody cares. But you'll be stuck with your memory of every time that the Holy Spirit has come to your heart and tried to get you to seek the Lord. You'll remember that. And the only thing that can come out of that awful place that's called hell is your memory. It can come back to this world. But remember, this world doesn't exist anymore. It's not here. 2 Peter, 3rd chapter. The heavens will melt with the fervent heat. The earth and all that's therein shall be burned up. It's going to burn up. Reading Revelation, it'll tell you that every island and every mountain was moved out of its place. Why would you want to come back here anyway? It won't be here. It won't be here. Not this one. I tell you, I hope you don't become like one of them that would go down to the pit to be forgotten. God's going to forget you. Your family will forget you. Friends will forget you. There'll be no memory of you. But what about when we read in these places, like Jesus talking that knows all about heaven? He said they'll come from the east and the west, and they'll set down the kingdom of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Sounds like it's going to be a big get-together. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, saith the Spirit, they do rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. There's a lot of these saints that's laying out here. They're resting from their labors. They just lay there, these hands folded over their bosom, says, I'm resting. My work's done. I'm resting. But one morning, whenever that trumpet sounds, enough to awaken the dead. You're talking about a getting together. It's going to be a meeting. No, we sing that song, what a meeting in there. I cannot see it yet. But that Spirit searcheth, yea, the deep things of God. We get foretastes of it. So tonight while we sing, Brother Wayne, get a song. If there's anybody here that's lost, do you want to be like them that goes down to the pit? I'm not talking about just the grave out here. That is a pit. But I'm talking about a lot deeper than that. That is congealed in a way or sealed in a way you can't break into it. Brother, go ahead. Let's all stand while we sing.